Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me today to help you get ready for NFL Week 5 action is Jessica Gonzalez, Covers Experts Handicapper. You can follow her on Twitter at Gridiron and Wine. Jessica, great to have you back on the show.
I'm happy to be back. I'm excited. It's football season.
Amen to that. So what we're going to do is do a quick recap of week four, any lessons learned. Then we will look ahead to week five. And in week four, our picks went 1-2. Our Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the week one, Bengals, Bills, Chiefs, Bucks, albeit had to hold on for a bunch of those with the Bengals and the Bucks. Our get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the week of the Broncos lost. Once Teddy Bridgewater went down, that bet was toast. And Jessica, I'm curious to hear from you. What do you do when you have a bet that is clearly toast? Where you look at it and I believe the Broncos are down 17-7. Here comes Drew Locke and you're like, there's no way this is happening. Do you still root for your bet or do you root against them to lose outright?
I just let it go. You can't predict injuries and things like that. So I just have to accept is what it is.
And I think about an instance earlier this year, I was on the unfortunate side of being on Minnesota in college football as a 31-point underdog. I believe that's to Bowling Green or something like that, or Kent State, one of those MAC schools. And it was like 7-3. So clearly they're not going to cover the 31. So what about in that instance? No injury, but your team is, it's now the fourth quarter and it's a close game and you're not going to score 28 additional points. I find myself rooting against the team that I bet on because how dare you do this to me? I put all my love and faith into you and you go and lay a major egg against a MAC school. I find myself rooting against the team if the bet's done.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I totally get what you mean, but you know, sometimes I root for them to root outright. So, but I feel you on that.
And then our last bet, the pick a loser of the week, the Minnesota Vikings. The pick a loser was the Cleveland Browns, who ended up beating the Vikings. But the Vikings score 7 points, do nothing the rest of the game. And we'll be talking about the Vikings again in this show. And they're one of the most frustrating teams to be betting on. And Jessica, I want to start with this because there is two teams that stand out to me as the most stock up teams, meaning their perception of where they are right now, their stock is up compared to where they were when the season started. And the number one is the Arizona Cardinals. And we saw them, what they did to the Rams. And the apprehension that I have with them is they're very shiny. We see Kyler Murray. He's incredible. We saw that last year. But I continually remember everyone, myself, saying, I just don't trust Cliff Kingsbury. So now all of a sudden there's the, are the Cardinals the best team in football? And they're sitting there, I believe, at 4-0. And I'm not ready to be all in on the Cardinals. And I'm curious your thoughts on Arizona.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm totally fading them this week. They are now the biggest public team this year. And their offense looks their offense looks amazing. We all see that. But, you know, like I said, going up against it, they have a divisional game this week, going up against the Niners. It's the perfect letdown game.
Yeah, I like where your mindset is there. The only apprehension that I have with this is it looks like we're going to probably get Trey Lance starting his first game on the road. And road starts out of rookies early on in their career is usually not the recipe for success. Albeit Trey Lance also brings a different element to the table with his legs. So for the same reason why Kyler Murray is difficult to defend because of his mobility, the same is true with Trey Lance. But I think we're seeing on the Trey Lance side of things some passing issues, but I would like to believe that the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan are going to create a running game plan to keep Kyler on the field or off the field as much as possible. The challenge, of course, being there, the 49ers have about 8 million injuries at running back, so I'm not exactly sure who's going to be running the ball for the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, but I think Shanahan is going to have a game plan ready. And especially Lance, and I expect a run heavy game too. And I think that I think Eli Mitchell is going to be back this week too, so that should benefit them as well.
Everybody's waiver wire darling spending half their fab money in fantasy football only for him to go down with injury several plays later. So the next shiny object team that stock up is the Dallas Cowboys. And the Cowboys looked impressive in a loss in week one against Tampa. And then all of a sudden, here comes Dallas, win, win, win. And they're a media hype train. Anytime Dallas is doing good, boom, here's Dak Prescott. You can see the narrative where you want to buy into Dak. And they've got Zeke and Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. And there's so much shininess around them. This week, Cowboys laying a touchdown at home, taking on the New York Giants. And for me, I'm actually going to make this game my get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the week and give me the Giants getting a touchdown. And the reason for this is similar to what you said around Arizona. I am looking for opportunities to fade the Cowboys, certainly in a division matchup where the team is getting a touchdown and the Giants are a team who plays significantly better on the road than they do at home. And I was on the Giants last week against the Saints, and albeit it wasn't very comfortable because they were down 11 in the fourth quarter, but they found a way to not only cover but win. So I do have faith in a division matchup that the Giants can keep this close. And something happened to me during that game, and I'm curious, Jessica, from you, if you've ever experienced this. So early on in the weeks, I usually make my first set of bets on Tuesdays, and then I'll do them on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, each subsequent day as I'm looking at the lines. And Thursday gets there, and I see that the Giants-Saints line is down to Giants plus 7, and I'm like, oh, I got to jump on that before it changes to 6.5, and I lose that key number. Boom, I jump on the Giants, and then I jump in my app, and I was like, wait a second. On Tuesday, I bet the Giants at plus 7.5 at the better number. So now I'm sitting there with two Giants bets, and I get it. Is that the worst thing in the world? No, but I'm an entertainment bettor, so I'm not someone who's hitting the same number over and over and over again. And I'm curious, one, have you ever done this where you've woken up and being like, wow, I bet this a couple times in at a different number? And two, what is the name that we can call this? Where when you create a bet that you don't realize that you bet, what's that called?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm gonna have to think about this for a second, but I just wanted to tell you why I agree with you on things that you just said. I mean, when it comes to the Cowboys, I think that they are legit. I think their defense is fierce with Dan Quinn. The Diggs is incredible when he's leading the league in interceptions right now. We have both the Diggs boys are looking great and their offense is unstoppable. And I really think that this team is for real. I would lean Cowboys minus 7 this week, but it is a divisional game, and divisional games are usually more tough and can somewhat be unpredictable. You're not too sure. And I agree with you on the Giants. I think being on the sharp side, but I'll probably stay away from this game until I get more clarity on the Cowboys for now. And I've done that plenty of times, what you're talking about. Sometimes I forget I'm even considering that I even want to place the bet, and then I'll realize, oh, I've actually already done it, or I've even written it down that I'm planning on wanting to do it and things like that. Now, coming up with a name, this is, I don't know. We'll have to think of something good here.
Or we'll just throw that out to Twitter. We want to hear from you.
Yeah.
What name should we call when you bet a game multiple times without realizing it? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. You can follow Jessica and hit her up on Twitter at Gridiron and Wine. And Jessica, I like to give an uncomfortable scale for my uncomfortable bet. And I'm giving this a Mark Bavaro 89 out of 100, because there is nothing comfortable whatsoever about betting on Daniel Jones. I get it. He just came off a 400-yard performance, but they were also down 11 points in the fourth quarter, and there's very little things about the Giants that make me feel comfortable. I do like, however, that Saquon looked better, and this is one of the things that, as the year progressed, you can think that Saquon is going to get better, so that does give me some confidence in this. I'm curious to hear from you. Do you have an uncomfortable bet of the week?
You know what? An uncomfortable bet that I have, it would be the Niners plus 5.5 against the Cardinals. And then one that I'm kind of considering too, and I'm not too sure if I'm going to lay on it, but I kind of like the Dolphins plus 10 against the Bucks. it's a definitely a little uncomfortable for me to lean it, but I feel like the Bucks are, you know, that public, another shiny object right there. And it's something I would consider, but I'm not too sure yet if I want to lay the money.
Well, I see what looks to be several Dolphins jerseys hanging up over your shoulders right there. Who are those two jerseys?
Oh, right here? Yeah. This is my boy, X Howard, you know, arguably one of the best cornerbacks in the league, for the Dolphins especially. And then I got my boy here. I got Williams, you know. He's, again, Ricky Williams, my boy. And he's a legend in my eyes.
Yeah, Ricky Williams, I really enjoyed watching him. He was amazing at Texas. And then obviously anyone who followed his career knows that it was a series of highs and lows, but I always enjoyed following Ricky Williams. As it relates to Miami, I think one of the things about them, one, we love when you're getting 10 points with a team that has a good coach. So remember, going into the season, everybody likes Brian Flores in this Dolphins team, but everything has not exactly gone their way, and they're coming off what would be perceived an ugly loss. So often in betting, why do we do get comfortable being uncomfortable? Because you have to take what many people saw last week. Ooh, I don't want to be on that. Oh my God, they're going up against Tom Brady. There is nothing fun and enjoyable about that. Cool. That seems like just the opportunity to be on them. For me, I'm going to wait to see if that number goes above 10, because I would love to be able to get 10.5. Get me that little hook.
Exactly. It's perfect buy low spot. I agree with you on that.
So next thing that I want to talk about is stay away teams. And these are teams right now that I am not currently betting. And this is something where you have to put your feet down and be like, I will not do this to myself because I've done it too many times. And I've got four teams right now that are stay away teams. And I know as sports bettors, it's difficult because we're looking for value. And oftentimes when a team is at the worst, that's the opportunity for you to buy low. But the four teams that are stay away for me right now are the Atlanta Falcons. I don't understand what's going on with the Titans. I know there's injuries, but still, they're just a head scratcher. My Pittsburgh Steelers and the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Falcons have been on this list forever. And anyone who ever bets on the Falcons is like, this is the week they're going to do well. You look at last week's game against Washington, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, the Falcons come out hot. Cordero Patterson is absolutely blowing up. They're finally going to cover a game. And then you look at the end of the game and you're like, they lost this game? Of course they did. That's the Atlanta Falcons. The Titans is just, for me, the uncertainty around the injury side of things. I get their loss to the Jets is just one thing, but I haven't been overly impressed with them as a whole on the year. My Steelers, it comes down to a very simple thing. Their offensive line is terrible, and Ben Roethlisberger is on the end of his rope. There's no confidence. The offense can't do anything, and it's very difficult for me to have faith until I actually see anything out of them. And last thing with the Eagles, whoa, what was great for them? Week one, hello, Atlanta Falcons. Everyone's like, I'm all in on the Falcons this year. Boom. Eagles are like, I don't think so. So we're like, you know what? Jalen Hurts, he's good. Maybe everyone had it wrong about the NFC with the Cowboys and the Redskins and the Giants and Eagles. Maybe the Eagles are the team that are going to be coming out of there. Nope. All of a sudden, they've showed up nowhere. I'm curious, do you have any stay away teams for yourself right now?
I do. I agree with you. I have Eagles and the Steelers. I'm right there with you on staying away. And then I also, the Jets, man. And the Giants, too. The Jets are the Jets, like you said, and about the Falcons to me. So it's a hard, I'm staying away.
Well, so I'm curious, though, stay away is on sort of a week-to-week trial basis. Because sometimes I have to save myself from myself. Because the last thing that I want to do is to pop on Twitter on Sunday and be like, hey guys, guess what? I'm now betting the Falcons. I've talked myself into the value that's been created. So I don't want to do that. But if all of a sudden I see something, I think Atlanta's probably going to permanently be on there. But I think the other three teams can get off, albeit I need to see something before I have any shred of confidence in them.
Yeah. I feel you on that. I couldn't find one game this season where I'd want to put money on the Jets until I see something. So that's like, that's my stay away team. And I know you're all over those hating on the Falcons, but I have to say that's actually one of the bets I am considering this week of taking the Falcons against the Jets. So I think that, you know, they're offensively, they looked really bad the first couple of weeks. Now they're looking good. The Falcons have more weapons offensively. You have your veteran quarterback in Matt Ryan. They both have mediocre defenses. I expect another shootout this weekend with this matchup. And I see, you know, when you look at the Jets, last week was the first time they scored more than 14 points. So that's really something, again, why I staying away from those Jets. They're, I just can't do it.
All right. Well, this is actually a great segue to a segment called Pick a Loser.
Oh, what a loser.
And our goal of this bet is to identify a losing bet. That way we can think differently about this. And you know who my loser is of this week? Give me the Eagles +3.5 on the road, taking on the Panthers. And the Panthers are the team that people were high on going into last week. And then all of a sudden, the second half doesn't work out for them. And the final score does not look so good for the Panthers. No Christian McCaffrey. Oh, we can see the narrative. They've had an easy schedule so far. People are off the Panthers. But I've long believed into the culture of what Matt Rhule is building. I believe he is a good coach who exceeds expectations. They're a team who plays better at home. And remember, they were only down 1.5 against the Cowboys. So it wasn't all doom and gloom in that game. And for the Eagles, their first game was the outlier. Right now, as I mentioned, I just don't trust them. This number has actually come down from 4.5 to 4 to 3.5. I'm actually going to hold off a little bit on placing my Panthers bet to see if this number gets down at 3. But nonetheless, the Eagles are going to be my pick a loser of the week, as I do not have faith in them and I have more faith in the Carolina Panthers defense. What about you? Do you have a pick a loser of the week?
Ooh, yeah. Well, I was just going to chime in on what you were saying about this game. I agree with you on the Panthers this week. They're at home. The Eagles are a stay away game for me as well. And just like you said, if I was to place a bet on this game, I would wait for it to get down to -3. Otherwise I'd buy the hook if I was to go for it. And my pick of the week for is the Jets. They are my loser for the reasons that I mentioned earlier.
And with your pick of the Jets, is there, I obviously get it, the Jets are terrible. Is there any point in which a rookie quarterback becomes more seasoned? So you said Matt Ryan, he's a veteran quarterback. But what actually stood out to me is you then followed it up with all the mediocre stuff on the other team with the Jets. And I'm sitting there thinking, is veteran just a nice way of saying mediocre? Because I can't exactly say that Matt Ryan instills the most amount of faith in me. At the same time, Zach Wilson being so green, I can't exactly say that that instills the most amount of faith in me as well. But at what point would you even consider a rookie quarterback like that? Or are the Jets just a lost cause for the year for you?
Well, I expect Ryan to compete more so than Wilson, even though, you know, he's still, yeah, he's that veteran QB. However, I still feel like he does show up to games and he proves himself to be like, oh, yeah, oh, Matt Ryan. Yeah, that's a good quarterback. And when you look at the Jets, I mean, I feel like they're a lost cause until they get back to their injured players. And the Jets, they're depleted with a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback.
All right, so
it's
keep going.
Oh, go ahead.
Nah.
No, I was just gonna say I'm not betting on that scenario.
All right, so let's get to our final segment, our Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the week.
I see they got the Big Mac. I got the Big Mick.
And our goal of this is just to create a winning bet. And for me, I've got a 3-team Moneyline Parlay. Give me the Patriots, the Raiders, and the Vikings. This pays out +118. So here was my thought process around all of this. And I will say that this Moneyline Parlay is a little bit riskier from a formulaic standpoint. So why do I like the Raiders? Because they was just announced that Justin Fields is going to be the quarterback moving forward for the Bears. We saw what happened to Justin Fields on the road. Rookie quarterbacks on the road are not the recipe for success, and the Raiders are a better team at home. But then, of course, I completely contradict myself by saying, give me the Patriots on the road, taking on the Texans. Mac Jones, of course, being a rookie quarterback. I find myself to be more pragmatic on Mac Jones and the Patriots' development than most people who are hype training him to be the next Tom Brady. I get it, but it's not exactly like the Patriots are blowing the doors off of everybody right now. But it also is the Texans versus Bill Belichick. That's pretty much my entire bet right there. Bill Belichick will find a way to win that game, which brings us to the last part of this, and it's the Vikings over the Lions, and this makes me want to throw up. Because the Vikings, to me, are a shinier version of the Falcons. The number of times in which you're sitting there, you're like, boom, first two legs of the parlay come down. All I got is Kirk Cousins versus some inferior team. They're more than a touchdown favorite at home. Give me them. And really, it comes down to, I believe in the Vikings at home. If this was on the road, it might be a different standpoint. The big hesitation is, I don't like the formula of a division game. So essentially, I'm contradicting myself by taking one rookie on the road in one division game. Despite that, give me the Patriots, Raiders, and Vikings plus 118. And there were two teams that I thought about but did not throw in here. I thought about the Ravens, but I didn't want to wait until Monday. And I thought about the Bucs, but I stayed away because I think I want to be on the Dolphins if that number gets above 10.5. And I don't like having to root for both sides of things. So that's my Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the Week. Do you have a Moneyline Parlay that you would like to throw out?
I like your parlay there, but I have to say I would take the Ravens, the Patriots, and the Vikings. I feel like the Ravens should be able to handle Wentz. The Colts have offense is terrible. Both defenses are good, but the Ravens' offense should be able to push them over the edge. Agree with you on the Patriots. This everything you're saying about the rookie quarterback and everything, Belichick, and with Belichick, you know, they're going to have to rely on their defense in this one. And I think they'll be able to handle the Texans. And Mac Jones should be able to dink and dunk his way down the field, and they should be able to win. And yes, for the Vikings is for me as well. You know, they're coming off a bad loss to the Browns where they couldn't even score. And, you know, I even had the over on that game. So I was like, I was expecting a completely different outcome. That's not what I was expecting at all. And yeah, the Lions, where they're just bad this season. And I feel like the Vikings should be able to score on them.
There is one part of the Ravens that I don't completely trust. I heard a podcast that asked, are the Ravens the best team in the AFC? And immediately my answer was no, that's definitely not them. But I can understand why that question would get asked, because leading into this season, the Ravens were one of the top four or five picks in the AFC. But with all the injuries that they've had, with trotting out whatever they are running back, from Le'Veon to Latavius Murray to Tyson Williams to Devontae Freeman, and there's just something that doesn't pass my sniff test for them. I get it. Baltimore is a model of consistency. They win. They can beat anyone. But there's something about them that I'm not going to say I don't trust, because they're an upper echelon team. I'm just a little bit apprehensive about falling in love with Baltimore as much as most people do. This, by no means is this a ringing endorsement for the Colts, because it is not. My actually note for the Colts is, I remember before the season started, that there was a point in the year in which the Colts' schedule gets easier. And the answer to that is, after this week, they play the Texans. So if you were someone who said, all right, the Colts are going to get beat up, but I like their long-term nature, next week is where you'd want to get on the Colts, taking on the Texans, and you may want to place that bet if there's a look-ahead line now or as soon as you can after that.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you in some degrees. Yeah, I mean, I would take the Bills, the Chiefs, the Browns, and even the Chargers over the Ravens in the AFC. So at best, for the Ravens, in my opinion, would be like number five, ranked fifth. And that's how I see it.
Gotcha. Jessica, I love jamming about football with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter. That's the best way, Gridiron Wine. And from there, you'll see me doing some FanDuel stuff. And you'll find me on Covers as well. And Pro Football Network.
And I want to hear from you. What is on your NFL Week 5 card? Do you have a pick a loser, a Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the Week, or a Get Comfortable Being Uncomfortable Bet of the Week? You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Cressy, and also make sure to hit up at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money.
The Bocadella devil hits you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pumps, pump it in your black trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.